Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Everyone, welcome to the Five Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I'm your host, as always, Scott Edwards. And this week, we're going to have a two-parter. This is episode number one of the week. It's only WrestleMania week, so it's only right that I do 2 weeks. This first episode will be all about TJPW's Grand Princess 2024. The second episode this week will be about anything that happened, including Julia and Noah, Stardom's American show, the farewells of Stardom, and so on and so forth. And with me to talk about TJPW Grand Princess are my very special guests. I do a show with both of them. It is the Ocean Cyclone show. However, this is the first time ever that they're on this show at the same time with me. Ryan Dilbert, you were here 1 year ago to review Grand Princess, and then, you know, Trent's here as well. Trent's been here a few times. But I am very happy to have both of you on at the same time.
Are you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because this has been something I've wanted to do on this show. So it's going to be a little more chaotic than usual because of that, because that's the Ocean Cyclone way. But this kind of fills in as the April show, as we are on a brief hiatus. But Ryan, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I didn't get snubbed like Trent. And it's been a year since I've been on. That's crazy. It doesn't feel that long, but time flies.
Yeah, I had paused and thought it was Summer Sun Princess. And then I was like, no, because Yuka lost to Mizuki. So I remembered the big thing that happened at the show. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Trent, welcome back. This is different for you, obviously. You're usually here for Stardom pay-per-view reviews, but still stays up to the theme, right? Big show, just a very different show for you.
Well, see, we've dropped the theme for Stardom in the sense that, like, I'm only on for the big Stardom shows, because then you got desperate, you wanted to talk to me, understandable, so you brought me on for the little stuff. But with TJPW, you know, I'm more of a casual fan. I'm going to provide an interesting dynamic. You know, Ryan knows what he's talking about. Scott pretends to know what he's talking about. I'm a casual with TJPW mostly, so you get a couple of different deferring opinions. It is very weird, with everything happening in Stardom right now, that I'm on to talk about not Stardom. But that might happen more often moving forward, considering one of the other promotions that is starting to brew and come into fruition.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on in the world of Joshi, and for the first time in a long time, I am genuinely excited about what is next after TJPW Grand Princess. And I think that should be the goal of this show every year, is to set up the rest of the year, because this brings us into Summer Sun Princess, the Tokyo Princess Cup, and of course, Wrestle Princess at the end of the year. Before we get into the full-on match-by-match review, I'll start with Ryan. You are the TJPW guy. What are your opinions on the show?
I would say, like, just big picture, I have, like, one negative and one positive. But the positive is much more important and bigger.
Yeah.
It's more of a nitpick on this negative side. But 2 years ago, the Grand Princess show felt very grand. It felt very big. The spectacle, the entrances. I feel like they've toned that down. And this year, a lot of people came out with new gear. Very cool looking gear. But it wasn't as big. It wasn't like this, oh, this crazy entrance. People are, you know, multiple Miyu Watanabes or Kamiyu riding on a motorcycle. It was, we have fresh robes and we're coming in. And it just didn't feel as, the bells and whistles were not there in the same way. To me, that's where you do this show. Mm-hmm. But that's a smaller thing. The big picture is what you're alluding to, Scott. I don't know if I've ever heard you say I'm excited about Tokyo Joshi. And I think coming out of it, everybody is excited because there's happiness, hope, and all the emotion coming out of it is really positive. So even if you didn't like a couple of matches or whatnot, the general, it's like the vibes are vibing. So
yeah,
that's huge.
I went back and checked the tape of Ocean Cyclone show because I think it's very important. I bring the theme of that show with us, you know, and you know, we do predictions at the beginning of the year. And there was one person that said Miyu Watanabe would win the title at Grand Princess. And it wasn't you, Ryan. It wasn't you, Trent. It was me. And maybe it was me trying to, be excited about TJPW. But it worked. Trent, how did you feel about the show? As someone who, as you said, isn't like a full-time viewer, but you tune in for the big shows.
Well, first of all, I just want to address that little, you know, side away comment. How'd that go last year with your prediction on Mizuki?
On who?
Yeah. Mizuki, you know, who we were predicting last year.
I thought you said Yuzuki. I was like, she was not wrestling yet, but I don't know. Mizuki lost, but listen, I wanted me.
Not last year.
No.
She won the title when Miyazuki we predicted, won. Unlike
but,
you, Scott.
But here's the thing. I wanted Miyu Watanabe to win. I didn't care if Mizuki won. There's a difference.
Sure. I think what I really wanted
to do... Impressive you remember that, by the way.
Well, I got something right. There's not that many times that happens, so it's easy to remember.
That's true.
Yeah. What I really liked about it this year is kudos to Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling taking a risk. They ran Rigoku Hall. That's a big venue. And when they announced it, I know a few people, myself included, was kind of like, ooh, okay, let's see what you do. They went out there and they drew their best ever number for like their own show. And that crowd was hot as well. Like it wasn't just the case. You run the risk if you run a big venue, you don't necessarily fill it with everyone. Does the crowd get lost amongst the size? They didn't. It was a good crowd. They responded well to everything. I think they did a really good job, you know, getting people into the gate. Ryan, you said they didn't really put on much of a bells and whistles spectacle. I've never seen a stage in Ryugoku Hall. I thought that was really impressive. I was watching and I'm like, oh, what? Where are we? Hang on. Oh, Sumo Hall. Oh, what's the stage doing there? I really liked the presentation. I agree there wasn't as much grandeur in like the individual entrances and stuff. But I thought like if this is what TJPW is working towards in terms of like they're aiming to be able to do Rare Goku Hall, they feel confident they can fill it. And fair play, like they drew like 2,300 people. There's not really any other venues in Tokyo which you'd say, oh, they should have run that venue instead. Oda Ward, you would have been able to fit it. But if you wanted to do the stage stuff, you probably would have been, if you got everyone in there, you wouldn't have had space for anyone else. And it's good to kind of have that room to grow. You never know what the walk-up's going to be. So I think on top of anything, like obviously it was a great show, the right people won matches and stuff, but kudos for TJPW for taking a risk, booking Sumo Hall, and doing a good job of filling it.
Seeing a stage in Ryugoku, I think it was the first thing I messaged you because I went away from social because I couldn't watch the show live and I couldn't watch the show in the morning and I didn't want to be spoiled on this because like it would have just made everything less exciting, obviously. And you had asked me, am I watching live? And I didn't answer you for like 24 hours.
Oh,
I know, I know. But the first thing I said was like, I forgot this was Sumo Hall. Mm. Which is like, I think that's part of, you know, kind of Ryan's conversation, right? It's like, they obviously didn't have the pomp and circumstance as much this time around as they have in previous years. And I actually think the stage took away more than anything, because like some of the pomp and circumstance with Sumo Hall is the way people come out and like just how different that is and how unique it is, obviously. Sure. So that was just like a personal thought, but ultimately the show delivered for me in every match I was looking forward to, and ultimately that makes it a good show. I think there were five matches I was really looking forward to on this show, and I think each of them hit the right level, whether it was the right person winning or just a great match or both. And that's what I look for, especially when I'm watching TJPW, because obviously people know my opinions on this promotion. And I think after this, the future is very bright for them, something that has been a year in the making, right? Yuka Sakazaki announced she was graduating about a year ago. And while she was on this show, you know, her shadow is no longer cast over a lot of these wrestlers. And it's a big shadow and big shoes to fill. But they don't have to worry about that anymore. I think that helps. And obviously, now is retiring soon. And Jerry Nagano's leaving soon. So it's like, we have to focus on the future now. Because, you know, we've talked about this. Maki Ito is not really a member full-time mm-hmm. anymore. She's more of a GCW wrestler these days who comes back for the big shows, whether they be Corkins or these shows. She's there, but not there to fully invest mm-hmm. into her. As you can tell by the matches she has on these shows, they're always special matches at this stage. As we've seen through their first two big shows of the year, they're legitimately like special attraction matches rather than anything else. And then you have Miyu Yamashita, who obviously goes to the United States for parts of the year now. So you have to focus on who's going to be there. And that's what this show did. And I think that's why I'm walking away from it so excited. So I think that's a good amount of talking back and forth. I think now we can move forward here and get into the actual show. And Ryan, I will lean on you for a lot of this, because I do want to hear your thoughts on a lot of the young talent that is in this promotion, because there's a lot of new rookies, a lot of new faces, which, again, is great. That's what you want to see, I think, is if you're not going to sign outside talent, you want to create new talent. And that is what they're doing. So the first match was Haruka Kazushiro, Runa Kubo, and Uta Takami defeating Chika Nanase, Kira Summer, and Shino Suzuki. My one takeaway from this match was that Runa Akubo throws the most unique forearm I've ever seen in my life. Like, she starts above her head and just strikes down because she's taller than everyone. And I was like, I don't know, she's probably going to be great like in a couple of years. I think she's like 14, 15. So it's like,
yeah. Yeah, it's hard to judge those teenagers because,
yes,
A, are you going to stay in wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
B, what, I mean, your physical gifts are going to change so much in the next 3-4 years. So
right,
it's really tough. Haru and Runa, what's that going to look like? I don't know. But
exactly.
I mean, they're both solid for being so green and being so young. They don't stand out. Like, there's not like, oh, who are these amateurs? Right. They handle, you know, they handle their business. So that's good to see. To me, in this match, Uta was the one that really stood out
mm-hmm.
in terms of facial expressions, emotion, all the little storytelling. She really caught my attention more than the others here. She's just so small. And that's a very noticeably small in a roster full of small people. You can still do something with that. This is not WWE. You're not going to be like, oh, well, sorry, can't do anything. I just don't imagine her being top champion if she's sure. tiny. But, you know, there's a place for her there somewhere.
Trent?
Look, Trent, my main focus...
What were your thoughts about that?
My main focus here was on the Australian. For obvious reasons, I got to rep my locals, Kira Summers. It was good. Like, it's always interesting watching like these kind of rookie showcase matches because, especially as someone who hasn't seen a lot of these rookies in action, it's okay. Well, let's see what the future's looking like. And I think TJPW, like the past couple of years, they've been doing a really good job shoring up their future with a lot of these young rookies. And if they can hang on to them, train them properly, guide them in the right direction, you've got a good mix of styles and types. And I think this particular match was another good example of that. Now, is it a match that I'm going to say, go out of your way and watch? Absolutely not. But it's a fun little chance to see where everyone's at and what the future of TJPW looks like. Because in a few years' time, some of these wrestlers might really be starting to make their mark. Because as much as we might complain at times of, oh, TJPW have taken too long to push certain wrestlers, there are also some wrestlers that when they sort of step up, they get a good chance to shine quite early on. Might not be in the title picture, but they're given opportunities to shine. And with such a deep rookie class, it feels like it's a matter of who and not if some of these start to really step out quite quickly.
Okay, there's a lot of them too. It feels like the last 2 years, they've gone from, oh, we'll bring two people in, three people. It's like, here's this whole batch and somebody's going to hit. Like multiple people will be good. And somebody's going to, a few of them are going to be stars. So you just, you just up your chances here. And I'm with you, Trent. This match is very much okay, action-wise. If you are short for time, do not save time for this. but it's more of a thought experiment or an interesting.
Yeah.
What could be kind of just curiosity. If you're into that.
Yeah, it's always good to get an idea of what to look forward with, and it's why. You know, most of us that cover Joshi watch Joshi. We watch the undercards because ultimately, especially in companies like TJPW, Stardom, you know one day they're going to be important, right? And they're going to go up the cards. Obviously, before the show, maybe I would have made a joke about TJPW doing that. But we have gotten to a place where I feel confident in saying that. But let's move on to the next match. We had Ami Yamoto, a debuting idol, as well as now Kakuta, defeating Himawari and Mihiro Kiryu. I want to give credit to Yamoto because obviously, like, she's not going to be this super duper in-ring wrestler in her first match when she has a, you know, essentially two careers going on at once. But damn it, she tried things. And that alone made me appreciate her. Going for the springboard dive to the outside, I literally, like, obviously it didn't look good, but she still got out there and made it happen. And I appreciate that, right? Like, you're going out there to make things happen.
She doesn't need to. She's got the PKB48 backing, which you just have to look at how well Yuki Arai's been pushed to know that with that idol background, you have a lot of inherent fans and a lot of inherent popularity. So, like, you don't need to go out and try springboard to the outside to get yourself over in that situation. So, yeah, kudos to her for, like, going, I'm not going to lean on my background. I'm out here to kind of make my own way. Kudos.
Yeah. Ryan, what were your thoughts on her?
That's a very positive way to look at that. I just
you got a bag on it.
Well, no. I mean, it's just to me that move and it's like not working was the most notable thing to happen in this whole match. Which is not a great sign for anyone involved. And she was fine. Like, I don't remember much else. But it's early. early goings. I don't expect a whole lot. But this was definitely, I think, the most underwhelming match action-wise of the whole thing. Even Panda included. We'll see what Scott says.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
He loved the Panda.
You know what? No. No, yeah.
We'll okay. get to there. We'll get there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. No, no,
this
no.
There's not a lot of meat on the bones on this.
Yeah.
No. I'm happy now got the win, obviously, because she's wrapping up soon.
Okay, sure.
And it's, you know, her last big show.
What do with that?
Who would, like, you know, who would her retirement person be? Because, you know, Hikari Noah is still missing.
Okay, so that's the big thing. Is Hikari Noah available at any point in the future at all? Then that, obviously, there's a connection there. You make a tag where you make her guess each other. She has really good chemistry with Mizuki.
Mm-hmm.
Her best stuff has always been against Mizuki. To me, like, I mean, that seems like an obvious route. I don't know. I am curious what the exit plan is going to look like.
Sure.
When Marika Kobashi left, there was a lot of interesting things. She went one-on-one with Yamashita. There was the match against Kobayashi, because she's a big fan, which was real odd and fun. And then, like, the gauntlet, you know, the classic gauntlet. So if we get anything in that level of intrigue, I'm all for it.
I agree with you. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle her retirement, because, you know, she's leaving and has been around for a while now. And then, of course, Juria also leaving very, very soon. But let's move on to the next match. I just got to rip the bandage off now. Tom Harajuku and Raku defeating Andreza, Giant Panda, and Kaya Toribami with Haruna Neko ringside.
Don't forget Neko was there.
Yeah, I try to forget. I think everyone could figure out my thoughts on this match before it even happens.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this was 10 times worse than last year. Last year, at least you had like the Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima aspect of like shooting the cannon and stuff. I at least laughed last year. Did I like it as a match? No. But did I laugh? Yes. And I feel like that's the point of this match. I didn't laugh. I was just rolling my eyes the entire time. And obviously, I'm not a big fan of Palm or Raku as is. Raku never gave Ryan that 4-star match. So obviously I'm a little angry at her for that. Failing
should
Ryan.
Give him a 3-star match even?
I know I probably haven't. But, you know.
She had a 3-star last year.
Besides, my point is I couldn't stand this match. I don't like the Panda. I don't like the others in this match either. So, like, it had no redemption for me. So instead of being the one that hates everything, I will kick it over to Trent. Trent, how'd you feel about this match? I know you love the Panda.
So when George Hackenschmidt started to really define pro wrestling at the turn of the 20th century, I think he was looking towards a future that inhabited a match like this. I think this is really what he wanted to see pro wrestling become. It's just he couldn't really make it work back then because pandas were different. They weren't 10 foot tall. But thanks to modern genetics and, you know, hard work, we've been able to grow them up to that level to really make Andreza Giant Panda a thing that can happen in 2024. The match was disappointing. Like, and I'm saying this as a fan of Andreza Giant Panda. When Andreza's on the card, I'm generally more inclined to pay attention because I enjoy the kind of stuff.
When Andreza's on the card, Trent is ready.
Yes.
Yeah. And
because of that, I was disappointed because, like, the point of these matches is, like, you look at who's involved and go, okay, what are we going to see? What kind of creativity are we going to see to work around a giant inflatable panda? We got the Raku sleep spot, which I think that was the center spot on the bingo card. Everyone knew that was going to happen.
Sure.
Beyond that, there wasn't really much. Like, there's a couple of, like, oh, and the giant panda swings the hand and they sell it. And, oh, we'll try and attack and it doesn't work. But, like, as Scott mentioned last year, there's a lot of creativity. You had the bike, you had the cannon. Masao and Shoko Nakajima just kind of work better with that kind of environment. And I was expecting, like, Pom Harajuku, I'm not watching her matches for Bryan Danielson technical classics. So I thought this would be her wheelhouse. But yeah, the only thing she really did was tie the panda's feet at the end to stop him from interfering. And I felt like with a character like her, there was a lot more open for wackiness and things that would have leaned into giant panda matches that I just didn't get. I was disappointed, and it makes me sad to have to agree with Scott on an Andreza match, but here we are.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm coming from a position where I really loved last year's match. Scott and I disagreed on that. I thought it was very fun and creative.
Everyone disagreed with me on that.
Stood out. That's what you're supposed to do with that match. Go over the top. Go crazy. This match went under the top. It is the least interesting version of this you could do. How could you? You cannot make this match boring. It could be dumb. And it may not work, and the spots are like, okay, that's stupid, but it can't be boring. And that's it was, and that's so weird. Like, I don't know, like, what you're saying, Trent, is obvious, like, spot on. I'm like, okay, this is Pom's time to do Pom. This is it. Yeah. Raku too. Let's go crazy. Let's do what kinds of stuff. Not a lot to write home about in a match that is just a bunch of weird spots. There's not enough weirdness, not enough spots. The thing that I'm most interested in was there was a side note from the commentator that said that when Neko returns, she's going to be a robot. I don't know if you caught that. It said that Neko is like building herself into a robot or something.
Are we getting Mecha Mommy appearing in TJPW?
I don't know. But I have zero interest in what Neko is now. if you add a robot element,
okay. You'll have 1% interest?
One, two, three? I don't know. It's going to be higher.
So she's not going to be a better wrestler, though.
There was too much pro wrestling in this match.
if anyone's wondering... dud. Moving on. Okay. Trey Nagano and Moka Miyamoto defeated Toga and Wakana Uehara. I watched this match and, you know, with Juria leaving, having already been in and out of this promotion, like pretty much because of injury or so on, it's hard for me to like get locked in. However, I do like Wakana. I do like Toga. I like where those two are going in terms of their future. And Moki Miyamoto is someone that they clearly like. You know, she's starting to rack up wins. She showed a little angrier side in this match, which I was like, okay, that's interesting. I've only pitched like multiple people to be like a heel like character in this company for years. I thought Hikari Noah should have been that, just because she already had like that vibe, and I was like, I feel like she would really stand out. So you know, Moki Miyamoto is going to be the one to do it. good. Nonetheless, I thought this match was fine. I wish Wakana was in a bigger showcase of a match, because she's clearly the one they like the most, as they should, because she has made fans and is very active on social media and is pretty good. So I wish she did more than just kind of team with Toga in a match that was like whatever. But
what would you have liked to have seen her do? Keeping in mind, like, the general card that we had,
I legitimately would have considered putting her in the match against Yuki Arai. I think that would have been like, you're focusing on the future. Just go all in. Have Wakana be in that match. You know, I know she's still very new, but those two obviously have like a kind of a tag team. So just work off of that. I would have done that instead. Like, that's how high I would have gone with her. Instead, you know, she's just in an undercard match that will be forgotten, and it's fine. But it's not like she got pinned, so I can't complain too much.
There was a fun little undercard tag match.
Yeah.
You know, it's about Scott's ideas about booking. Like, Wakana was so good with against Aja Kong as the, you know, fighting underneath and getting her ass beat. And just
she did a great job in that match.
So could you bring, you know, Ryo Mizunumi or like some big bruiser from outside, something like that? But this match
is a giant panda.
Have her fight Max. That's
a big one. Well, that's
her and Max would have been a good match.
I felt kind of just sad about things coming out of this, just because Juria and Mocha are like this obvious tag team. Karate girls, they're just gimmicks match. They've gel well together. There's a lot you could do with that. And it's like, well, okay, that's over before it didn't really do anything. Like, the jury was not around enough. It hasn't been long enough. So that's just over before it. And I think jury in general was on the path to being quite good and being something special. And just not a lot of opportunities, not a lot of time, and she's going to be kind of forgotten, I think, because not a lot happened. This is the first match, though, I think, that if I'm, like, telling you, hey, skip, 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 this is one of the better, like, just straight action-wise. Like, this is more enjoyable. If you had some time, I'd go there. But I was just thinking about what could have been a lot. That's just me. Being a sad sack, I guess, but maybe Trent had more fun.
We brought you on to be amping up TJPW, and here I am feeling like I'm the one swinging the flag.
I'll get there.
Actually, all I asked for was a Wakana being in a higher match. That's all I asked for. Really? Otherwise, like, it was harmless. It was a harmless tag match that, you know, did the job and whatnot, but.
This felt like a classic. Yeah, there are people that we haven't got on the card. Let's get them on the card.
Yeah.
Give them 10 minutes to kind of do their thing. Is it memorable? No, but like, it was kind of, I guess, necessary in that kind of standpoint. It served for me as kind of the changeover match from the pure undercard to when you start getting into the juicy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I think when it comes to this match as well, I feel like Toga and Wakana have the brighter future. So
more so than Juri Nagano.
Well, obviously. But even over Mocha. So like that part of watching them lose was also like, all right, whatever. But let's move on here. Anyways. Next up, this is where the show finally picks up, in my opinion. It was, and I was actually shocked at how early this match was. I don't know why. I just felt like, I don't know, feels pretty big. Rika's in it, but
yeah,
considering what followed, I guess it's not too shocking. But Maslanovic defeated Rika Tatsumi in 10 minutes and 35 seconds. I thought this match was great. Mm. I think Masha is just so phenomenal. I've sung her praises many, many, many times. She was one of the people I wanted Stardom to bring in for the past couple of years. Obviously, Marvelous trained, one of the big names on the indies. And in 1 week, she's wrestling Rika Tatsumi and Shuri. That's pretty good. That's pretty good accomplishment for her. I thought this match was great. Her and Rika worked fantastic together. If I had any complaint, I wish it just kept going because it was so good. But they made those 10 minutes. They maximized their minutes, and that's really what I'm looking for out of two wrestlers like this. And I like Masha winning, actually, because it creates, like, oh, that, what is she going to do when she comes back then? Because it's like, you don't just give that win away to Rika, I think. You know, because obviously Miyu beat her earlier in the year, but now there's an idea of, okay, maybe she could challenge for the international princess title. I think that would be certainly interesting. Or maybe she goes back and challenges Miyu Watanabe, which would obviously be fantastic after being the...
Or a rematch with Rika. Rika wants revenge.
I wouldn't be upset with that either.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, Scott, except when you said it should go longer... When a match goes 10 minutes and gives me this much, to me,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, oh, there's so much just packed into this little space. I really appreciate my time. You don't just hang around and bullshit.
Oh, for sure. I just wanted more of the good stuff, which was what they did.
Yeah, you want like two Rika matches, probably.
Pretty much. That's how I feel. Yes.
And I'm with you. Rika is. I think she is the best ring worker, even though, you know, how I feel about Yamashita. I think overall ring worker, I think Rika's the best in this company. You got to put her in a high spot. They don't always do that. Absolutely delivered here. And I like that her choking spot is often like a silly thing. It got a very much a dangerous element. Mm-hmm. And you got a lot more intense version of Rika. I like the funny stuff with her. She does it well, but like as a badass, that's my jam. And there was a lot of that here against someone who, another badass versus badass. So I think if you watch two matches, the whole show, main event in this, I think that, you know, go for those first and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was a good move giving Masha the win here because we know Masha. We know you can kind of slot her in and do whatever you want, but TJPW fans maybe aren't as familiar with her. They haven't seen her that much. If she'd come in, lost to Miyu Yamashita, that makes sense. But then if she'd lost to Rika Tatsumi, it becomes harder to use her in this part-time. Mm-hmm. Come in, do a thing, leave spot. So giving her a win over a really good established wrestler like Rika Tatsumi, I think makes a lot of sense. It doesn't hurt Tatsumi. But it gives you so many options with how to pivot now with Slamovic. And that's really interesting because, she is someone who I want to see get more opportunities. And it feels like 2023, 2024 is starting to really remind people how good she is because she kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. When you mostly work TNA and some of the indies, a lot of people don't just get a chance to see you regularly necessarily. Mm. But, for me, who's a more in the Japanese wrestling, this is a great example of how good she is. And it's a really exciting thing. Okay, clearly they like her. She likes working with them. What's going to be the future in their partnership? What opportunities are we going to see? And it was just a damn good match. 10 minutes, get in, get out, do your stuff. Get the crowd going. Because, this was a show that had been a little quiet before then. The crowd was more interested probably in the SKE 48 show bit than the matches to this point. But I really enjoyed this. This did exactly what I wanted it to and what it needed to do.
Yeah, Masha's got a huge week. You know, it started here with Rika. She'll be facing Shuri. I asked myself, I was like, why is she not on the regular TJPW show in America? And I was like, oh, she's fighting Shayna Baszler in Bloodsport.
Mm.
But then that wasn't the same. Life. No, but that didn't end up being the same time. So I don't know why. I don't know why. She's fighting Shuri at like midnight, so that's probably why.
She's got to breathe.
I know, but I don't know. She could have made it for like the semi-main. Either way, she has a great week ahead of her. I think she's fighting Speedball as well, so pretty crazy WrestleMania week for her. If anyone's interested in her, this is the week to check her out. She's wrestling all these great different kinds of matches. She did the same
thing last year, too. Like,
yes.
She was one of the stars, I thought.
Yeah.
Just popping and doing a lot of little fun things.
Yeah. She's the one that I'm making sure to go out of my way to see. She will be on the GCW versus TJPW show though. So another chance for TJPW fans to see her. Next up with Aja Kong and Maxine Paler defeating Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima. See, this was like a good, like this was a well done comedy match. Ooh. Obviously, I'm not going to run away from it and be like, oh, wow, that was my favorite match of the show. It's just never going to happen. But I appreciated what they accomplished here, because when you have a match like this, you need to, especially when you book Aja Kong, I feel like you need to reach a certain level of entertainment at the very least. And I thought they did that. I think Aja and Max are a very fun team. And I thought Shoko and Hyper being the ones to face them was actually pretty well done. Like when Aja was originally booked, I was like, really? Like, this is what we're using Aja Kong for? Because like Aja Kong, when she's on TJPW, I want her to be in like the Wakanda match, for example. I like when
you want to see beating up on young people.
Absolutely. So it wasn't too bad watching her beat up on these two. You know, like that was a good secondary price, and they did a good job. And you did get your one like special entrance at least, Ryan, with the Shoko.
Yeah.
And Masao. So that was cool.
You can depend on
the best outside to inside bike entrance TJPW have ever done.
And she, I don't know, she just Hyper Masao is like, understands the assignment. I'm going to crank it up for this big moment. I've got some wacky stuff on my head. Just always thinking, some little wrinkle I'm going to throw in there. I think this works so well because of the way that Max works so well in the company is the juxtaposition. Max is a beast, a monster. There isn't really that many monsters on this roster. Like, maybe a monster against her at some point. But instead, we're going to go the opposite route and go like the goofiest, the funny, the clowns. Sure. The clowns versus the monsters. And it really works. It highlights both sides. It makes the Hyper Masao and Shoko funnier, and it makes Aja Kong and Max scarier. Just that. Contract. Am I here? Are you here?
He cut in a little bit in and out, I think ultimately your point was there is the contrast between the two teams that I that's what I caught on from you. If you need to but I think you're back now, I think.
Yes.
So but Trent, what was your opinion on the match?
Yeah, no, look, everyone here understood their assignment and they executed it well. Like, in contrast to the Andreza match, everyone here kind of knew what they had to do and they played their part well. Shoko and Hyper Masao, they always shine in these kinds of roles. They're both good wrestlers, and obviously Shoko gets more chances to really do some main event level stuff, but I like her in this role. I think she plays the role better. And having someone like Max essentially playing this straight person in a comedy works so well, because you take one look at Max and like, it is legitimately, the way they play their role is perfect, legitimately terrifying to sort of look at and how they operate in the ring. And then you've got these comedic kind of moments playing off them, but they never drop character. It's like Leslie Nielsen in kind of the, you know, Wrongfully Accused, Airplane, Naked Gun kind of stuff. It works so well because they commit to the role. And Aja Kong, she gets it as well. She's been in this industry long enough to know what she needs to do in these roles. It's a fun match. Probably the best executed comedy match. There's three matches on here that kind of lean that way. I think this one does it better than any of the others.
Speaking of comedy matches, next up we have Minoru Suzuki versus Maki Ito. I wasn't like looking forward to this or anything like some people were. I was like, all right, whatever. Obviously it's two big names, you know, like, so it's going to get the most attention, and it has from like US outlets. This is the match that got the
attention.
Well,
this is the American match.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, as a match, I thought it was whatever. I really like, I don't think it's, accomplished anything necessarily. It just made people, you know, that maybe don't talk about TJPW at all talk about it, because like you said, it's the American match. I thought you know, the second half was pretty solid. The first half did nothing for me. I was like, all right, let's pick up. Like, this is doing nothing. Like the crying and stuff, I was like, all right, this is I desperately miss what Maki Ito once was. So like anytime I watch her in pretty much anything now, it's like, I know who you are. I know who you used to be. This is not it. But this is what got her popular, is doing things like this. So I get it. The match missed the mark, I think, for the most part for me. But I understand, you know, some people liked it, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what these two were put on the show to do, was exactly this match.
I enjoyed it for what it was. It's not a match I'm necessarily going to go back on and rewatch, but I enjoyed it for what it set out to do. And kudos to them, because they did all of this taking very few bumps. Minoru Suzuki took 2 bumps, which admittedly is probably 1 or 2 more than I was expecting him to take. But even Maki Ito didn't necessarily have to take much. You know, a lot of it was just like, chop me, or, you know, hit me here. Like, there was not a lot of the intense bumping. So these two probably walked away and were feeling better than anyone else on the roster. It was a theatrical performance with a little bit of grappling here and there. I enjoyed it for what it was. But like, I preferred the overall action from the match prior, compared to what I would call the pure comedy theater of this match.
Yeah. I think this is one of the least interesting versions of this that you could have done. Of all the scenarios you could have played with these two, they have history together, as like a faction, you know. The intergender aspect, the contrast of characters, is a lot to play with, and I almost got it, fell flat. I think to this kind of match, you have to go more violent, and you have to like make Maki like suffer more. I'm not trying to make her.
Make her bleed.
Take more pain, but like
GC dub,
that's the obvious dynamic.
Yeah,
like, you are the underdog. You're the physical underdog. You need to get beat up more.
Yeah,
and then within that story, you earn your respect by taking all this punishment. And she didn't take a whole lot. So that story of like, oh, he respects her now. I'm like, I don't know why. He didn't go through that much, right?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah,
it's unearned in that way. Like, I know what you're trying to do. You just didn't. You didn't do it right. So, I'm with you guys. Just kind of fine. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not my style, I guess.
I feel like Micah and Hiroshi Tanahashi accomplished more with the one slap in their crossover match, because like obviously no one thought they were going to do anything, and like they did that. Then this match, because I think Ryan's absolutely right. It's like you. It didn't do enough either way. Like, you had to go one way or the other, and yeah, it was whatever. But we can move on.
It is tough with that situation, though, because you use Mike and Tanahashi as an example. That is, like, it has the benefit of the companies not letting them do that necessarily, so it's such a shocking moment, whereas we know Minoru Suzuki is okay fighting women. We've seen the Kata match and everything that's happened since. We know Maki Ito's willing to go violent and fight men. We've seen that for years now. So it's difficult when you're in this situation. You do either have to go all the way or just take it easy, have a bit of fun, hit your spots, and maybe send the people I'm happy that
want to
see
that. And make it goofier. Yeah,
and because it is just Mac Bang Miller, the card match,
right?
I don't really blame them for like not wanting to Minoru Suzuki wasn't going to kill himself on this kind of match, but like Maki Ito to kind of get to that level might have kind of had to. I can understand, especially when she's not fully in on TJPW. It's a lot to give when you can just come in and do this. Like, I hate to talk like Kevin Nash and all about just, you know, exploiting the business, but like, it works. She's coming in, getting paid. She took.
Well, I don't blame her at all.
Yeah,
I do because I think her career is very upsetting these days. So, I will just say that. I don't have any part of me that needs to hold back on that. Like, I think where she was 2 years ago compared to now is very, very much a letdown. But here's the thing. They did the reverse the next match, and it was 10 times better, and that was the Magical Sugar Rabbits and Mizuki and Yuka Sakazaki reforming for one night only for now to face the Gato Move team of Chris Brooks and Amy Sakura. I thought this match was great. They did everything you wanted from at least for me. You know, I thought Chris Brooks, like, he was the complete opposite of Suzuki. He's willing to go in there and hit them hard because at the end of the day, he's going to take the bumps and get hit hard back. Yuka rocked this man with multiple elbows to the head, right? Mm-hmm. And Mizuki hit the whirling candy. It's like, it just works better when, you know, your both sides are willing to go all in on it. And that's why this match compared to the one before it was just so much better. And obviously it was nice to see Yuka back. Mm-hmm. First time Yuka's wrestled since she graduated from TJPW. She hasn't been that busy, and she didn't look like she missed a step or anything, you know, because you're out of the ring for so long, at least in front of a crowd. We don't know what she's been doing. I just know she's been in America doing a whole lot of nothing. But I thought she was great in this. You know, it's a shame the Sugar Rabbits aren't together anymore, because it's like a reminder of how great they are as a duo. And obviously Emi Sakura is fantastic. I want to give her props. If you can bring her in, if you're any company, you should. I think that goes without saying. She has shown it at every single level how great she is. She's shown it in AEW. Obviously she shows it all the time at Gato Move, shows it here in TJPW. The list goes on and on and on. If you can get Emi on your show, you should, because she's going to bring it every single time, like she did here. This match and the Masha Rika match were my two, or tied for second, really, in terms of my favorite matches on the show. You can figure out what my favorite is very easily. But very, very good, very good match here.
I mean, let's be honest, this is the reason why I've been invited.
Yeah, this is the only reason you're invited.
Yeah. I'm on here to evaluate one match, and it was this one. This was utterly fantastic. I will say, like, Suzuki's, like, what is he, 50, 60? Like, I can understand him taking less bumps than Chris Brooks at this point in time. But Chris is, for my money, hands down, the best intergender wrestler going today. And it's not really a competition, in my opinion, because he's so good at... He's an imposing wrestler. He is tall. He's not big, but he's got so much height that whenever he wrestles these women, like, it is such a height disparity that you can't help but sort of root against him and go in the underdog zone. But he's really good at not only being willing to take offense against the women, but finding a way to make it believable. Because, you know, he's fighting someone half their size. Some of these moves maybe shouldn't look as good as they do, but he's so good at making them look like they should rock you and legitimately making him struggle. He's so good at that. And he's so willing to just lay it in. That shotgun dropkick spot to Mizuki, oh boy. Like, that is like, the whirling candy is getting the viral spread at the moment.
Yes.
Fair play, as it should, as it always does. But that shotgun dropkick, like, oh, that hit like a shotgun. Like, it was very aptly titled. I can never sing Chris Brooks's praise enough. Magical Sugar Rabbit, seeing them together, they work so well together. And Emi Sakura, like, she had her working boots on today. She always does, but you could tell this was a big moment for her. Her and Chris don't get the team together much. They had fun on Twitter and stuff, working out what their team name would be. By the way, TDK, perfect choice. She was so good here as well. The delayed double underhook backbreaker into the lariat spot, like, because she has a few moves she does from that double underhook. That was brilliant. Like, I want to see her do that a lot more often. And obviously her and Mizuki have a lot of history together. Like, she trained Mizuki in Gato Move. So it was great seeing them work at it again. This was my second favorite match of the night. Am I biased? Absolutely. But I do also think it's warranted, given how what this match accomplished across the board and on quite a few different levels.
I'm so glad you mentioned that dropkick. That is absolutely like a standout moment. Like, holy crap, that looks so hard. And because he's so big and he's fast, like, it just, I mean, just looks superhuman. I mean, I think one of the strengths of this show is that they just put together really interesting matches where you were like, oh, I want to see that. I did want to see Minoru Suzuki versus Maki Ito, but this match, I was so intrigued. You get the Magical Sugarettes together again. I'm sold. You get Emi Sakura for the first time. As far as I know, this is the first time she's ever been in Tokyo Joshi. And then you get the honorary Joshi wrestler, Chris Brooks. He's always doing commentary. He's always around.
I did miss him on comms. I will not lie. I always enjoy him doing comms.
He's so good. Maybe he could have
done. He should have done the Rock thing and commentated them.
But it just was like such a great idea to put them together. Yeah. And they come through and they deliver. So this is the kind of interesting thing where you're like, you cannot just rely on your own roster if you're this small. Who are you bringing in and who are you putting them with? This was such a brilliant put together thing. I love the story. It's a very simple story. Yuka and Mizuki are the more cohesive team. They've been together longer. Emi and Chris are arguing. They're not on the same page. So that's like what cost them. You don't need to overthink this.
No.
That's the story. Let's go with it. And it really worked.
I'll say one last thing. I think it's stupid that Yuka's not on the American shows for TJPW after watching this. I was like, "What? Why is she not on these shows? Because I know where she's going. I know where she's going to be. She's already back. If she's not going to wrestle in the company she's now signed to, then put her on these shows. It's easy, you know, but whatever. I'm happy we got this match at least. We got one match out of Yuka.
Well, one final thing I just want to add to this as well. If you watch this match again, watch Chris Brooks when he does the jumping knee. It's such an awkward thing because he is 6'4". He goes to jump and he is athletic, so he can get some height on that jump. But the people he's fighting probably don't reach 5 foot. And he has to kind of do this awkward little hop where he powers up for the jump, but then gets 2 inches off the ground to deliver this knee. It's utterly hilarious because you can tell how difficult it was to find that middle ground. Because if he jumped normally, he's going over them. That would have been funny.
Or hitting them a little rough accidentally.
I think he legitimately would have cleared their head by a good foot.
Well, that's my thing. Maybe they would have just smashed in the wrong way because he obviously had the other leg. I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things I need to make sure I hit this right. Otherwise, who knows what happens. Or he just
does that running double knee into Mizuki, which was brutal as well, which wasn't long after the dropkick. Mizuki took some punishment from Chris. Yeah, she must have owed him money.
Great. I know. I thought Mizuki was great. We have the International Princess title match with Yuki Rai successfully defending against Yuki Kamifuku. Ryan, I know you're a big Yuki Kamifuku guy.
The biggest.
So what are your feelings on this one?
Bigger than y'all. Bigger than y'all. This is not a good evidence for my case.
No.
I got real distracted the match is happening. Not a good sign.
No.
So you put the dynamic of Yuki Arai, kind of the underdog working underneath. That makes sense. Yuki Arai is very good at that. It's just that Kamiyu's offense is so limited. She's not it's not intimidating. It's not imposing. It's hard to believe that Yuki's really struggling here. I think Kamiyu has a place in this company and can do well in certain spots. She's not versatile. She's not a Swiss Army knife. This is not a place where she's doing well. I don't like her as a challenger to titles. I don't like her winning, going to the finals of a tournament. She's your sassy entertainment, teaming with somebody or whatever. I don't think they know what the international championship is and what direction they're going. But I wouldn't go here. Is it the workhorse title? Is it the foreigner versus?
She's challenging for it, no.
It's not, right? Is it a comedy title? I don't know what it is. I think Yuki Rai can be a really great champion, but I would love more interesting challengers. Scott's idea of Wakana in there is very fun. Hikari, if she ever exists again. Yeah, but this is very underwhelming, and I thought of y'all, and I was like, yo, this is not what I signed up for as a Kamiya fan. This is not her.
Was she cool, at least?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't feel cool, convinced smooth, by that, yeah.
Charisma.
But all right, Trent.
Not in the ring, yeah.
I actually kind of feel bad for her. Because she... Look, hear me out. She entered a company where there was already a far better version of her there in Saki Akai. Everything she wants to be, Saki Akai was, and was far better, be it in the ring, be it seeming cool, charisma, all that kind of thing. So she has that kind of standard she has to live up to. And yeah, now they're putting her in situations where maybe they see what Saki Akai was, and now that she's gone, they're like, we want that still in TJPW.
Yeah.
Yuki's kind of our replacement for that. And so they're giving her these opportunities to maybe shine, but it might be asking too much of her. Maybe she's just not meant to be that absolutely. Kind of wrestler. I'll be honest, I enjoyed this match more than I expected I would. But that's not exactly a high bar it had to pass. I was not looking forward to this match. I like Yuki Arai, but like my feelings on Kamifuku have been made clear on this episode and in previous ones. I'm not interested in her. I don't find her an interesting wrestler. It was fine, but in this position, especially when it was bookended by the matches that it was, it really stood out. You had a 15-minute break before this match. You have that sense of anticipation, and it's just like, oof. Okay, cool. Let's see what Yuki Arai can do with her next match, and hopefully an opponent that can serve that role better. Because Yuki Arai is someone they clearly want to build around. She's someone they should be building around. But she still needs the right opponent at this stage, and Kamifuku was not that person.
Rika would have made a lot of sense for her, too, if you wanted to give her someone to carry her to a good match or something like that. Yeah, Kamifuku stinks. I've said that on the show many times. So I'm going to continue to say it. When she challenged for this belt, I remember just being like, why? Like, why is this the big title match for this? Because Yuki Arai obviously was given this title to be in big spots. And I'm still in shock, kind of, you know, because like, think of it last year. Where was this title, right? It was Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi. Now I'm watching Yuki Arai. Yeah, and
you're like, oh, this is the workhorse.
Yeah.
This is where we are. Okay. I'm wrong with that.
And then Max won it. So it's like, okay, it's the international belt. Sure. Then Yuki Arai won. I was like, okay, now it's the future. But now I have no idea what it is. It's just the belt. It's just the secondary belt. And like, that's fine. It can be fine. But at least I want a good match out of it. And, you know, this was just never going to happen. It was never going to happen. Like, Yuki Arai is not going to lead someone to a great match. She can be an underdog in a good match, right? That's her best role.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Ryan said, but Kamifuku is not the one to do it. It's just not, it was just not going to happen. So,
and Trent bringing up Saki Akai, I was like, oh my God, the greatest villain in the history of the company. That just made me look even worse. Like, you're not there.
But it feels like that's what they would like her to become. They see potential for her to be there. Yeah.
And that's just not fair. You know, you can't put him in that. You can't put her in that.
See, you know what I saw this as? I saw this as, oh, they really wish Saki Akai didn't retire. So they could have done that exact match because obviously they were tagged.
That would have been incredible. This.
But instead, here we are. We got Kamifuku.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I think they also missed an opportunity here, just quickly. You had SKE48 on the show. I feel like they should have been out supporting her and cheering her in this match. Yeah. Like, she performed with them earlier in the night. Like, yeah. Really close to friends. Have them come out and kind of be like trying to cheer her on and stuff. I think that would have done really well in, okay, you don't have, like, it would have worked better against like Max or something like that. Yeah. Like, they've been legitimately terrified, but that would have given, when she's struggling to sort of overcome Kamifuku, that would have been a great visual, and it would have given Arai a lot of sort of bonus points there as well. But I don't know what their contractual situation is there.
Anyways, we move on. Semi-main event, there's the Princess Tag Team titles as finally Daisy Monkey and Arisu Endo. Daisy Monkeys, Arisu Endo, and Suzume won the tag belts, defeating Ryu Mizunami and Yuki Aino. I'm just going to say it now. I think Arisu Endo is one of the top talents in this company, and it's more and more apparent every single time she gets a big spot. Like, I think Suzume is very good, but I feel like I've watched Arisu Endo eclipse her in the past 6 months. It started with that huge anniversary tag. Then it was the three-way tag to crown the new tag team champions. And then it was the finals of the Max Hart tournament. And now it was here. Sure, Suzume got the pin, but I left this match thinking Arisu Endo is that's the up-and-coming star. She is the one that, if this company is smart, they get behind her sooner than later. She's someone that I consider to take off the International Princess from Yuki Arai or whoever beats Arai, right? Like, that kind of thing down the line. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. And as a team, Daisy Monkey is excellent. I think they are, you know, it's hard to beat like Daydream to be the best tag team in this promotion, but they're doing a damn good job at trying to contend for that. And Ryo Mizunami, every time she's in TJPW, she delivers. Yeah. You know, like, one of the best things they ever did was have her fill in for a match once upon a time and just be like, oh, can we keep calling you back? Like, can you come back and have these singles matches? And you know what? She's, we'll give you a title. And she's helped Yuki Aino, I think, kind of figure out what she wants to do. And they worked as a good team to be the ones to ultimately lose these titles. This was the first of two fantastic moments on this show. The match delivered where it needed to go, and the closing stretch was fantastic. You know, just the back and forth. I was legitimately so happy when these two won, and this is part of the reason I'm excited for TJPW moving forward, because these two now have the belts. They deservingly have these belts.
I had a lot of fun with this match, and it did everything it needed to do. As a casual fan, I agree. Arisu Endo is someone, every time I've tuned into TJPW in the past year, she's really stood out. And not just because she changes her hair all the time, but as a performer, as a wrestler, I'm always drawn to what she's doing in the ring. And that's something that's not easy to do necessarily, especially in a tag match when you've got someone like Anarchy there, who is such an overwhelming force of nature that you can't help but watch her and pay attention to her. But Arisu Endo was earning every bit of attention and really focusing in. Suzume is a great little wrestler, a great sort of underdog character who works really well in this situation. I enjoy watching her. And Yuki Aino is someone I've not paid a lot of attention to in TJPW. But this match, I feel like she really did a great job. And like, watching this match now, I want to pay more attention to what she does in the future, because she's deceptively strong. Like, you look at her and you can tell she's, you know, decently strong and decently built. But she caught Suzume in the air off that dive, which normally you only see that done from people who are like two times as big as her. Like, that's the Micah spot. That's the Megan Bain spot. Mm-hmm. And Aino's pulling that off and not looking like, you feel like she could have caught like another 50 pounds and it wouldn't have been an issue for her at all. That, like, I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know you had that in you. I wasn't aware of your game.
Yeah.
yeah, this was a really fun match. Did everything it needed to do. The finishing stretch was great. And legitimately, like, I wanted Daisy Monkey to win coming in. I wasn't sure if they were going to pull the trigger on them, to be honest. Like, Aniki, like, is such a hill to climb. I wasn't sure if that was going to be too much. And they did a good job of making me not sure what was going to happen until those final moments. And fantastic choice. Daisy Monkey, push forward with them. Push forward with Arisu Endo. Let's see what they've got.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of the most obvious choices is to crown these two wrestlers. They haven't always gone with the obvious choice, so that's why you're hesitant. But they just have so much momentum. They're so talented. If you're not going to put one of them in a big single spot, this is the obvious place to be.
For sure.
And they can thrive there. The match, like, it didn't waste any moment. Even the handshake is intense. You're just like, this is like, this is electric right away. And what I think Endo and Suzume do so well is just they bring like the high speed division into Tokyo Joshi, and they just wrestle the foot on the pedal style. They're among the most athletic and talented wrestlers on there, so they can pull this off where a lot of the other ones can't. And I'm glad you said something about Yuki Iono here. I feel like she's gone through a big change in the last year and a half, where she's just improving and improving. She's kind of just someone just sticking on the side, builds the roster, pretty good. But now I'm like, I would like to see you find, I'm assuming Mizunami's not going to be around permanently. Can Yuki find another partner?
Sure.
I would really like to see her. Like, I think the tag team division is the best spot for her. I don't think she's charismatic enough to be a single star.
It's an area for her to grow that.
Yeah, that's true. So in the meantime,
I think Himawari would be interesting for her.
That's an idea. Yeah.
Just thinking of
I keep going back to Hikari Noah, but like, because Hikari Noah's partner's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't know what's happening with the card.
Exactly.
We don't know if it's like a really bad injury that they don't want to talk about, or she's having personal issues or whatnot. So it's just like, I don't know. But I feel like this is the result everybody wanted. You give them what you want. Everybody goes happy. I thought, it's either Daisy Monkey or Watanabe. I don't think they're going to do both. They never do this. So I was like, okay, well, Daisy Monkey wins. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is why, by the way, this is probably the most positive I've been following a TJPW show, because they did the right thing twice. That is new ground that has been covered. But let's get to it. Main event, Princess of Princess Championship match. Miyu Watanabe defeats Miyu Yamashita to become the new champion. 20 minutes and 7 seconds. I'll just say this. It's one of the greatest TJPW matches of all time. And I feel like I've said that a lot with Miyu Yamashita. Like, I'm pretty sure she has the top 5 comfortably. You know, that match with Miyu Watanabe, obviously, from the Tokyo Princess Cup. The Maki Ito one from Wrestle Princess 2. You know, the list goes on and on and on. I'm not going to keep reading off Miyu Yamashita matches. But Miyu Watanabe, I have been under the belief since that Tokyo Princess Cup match that she won that she should be getting this title as soon as humanly possible. And it took some time. But when we got to this match and when they looked across from each other, I said, all right, this doesn't feel like it's too late. This feels right. Like last year when Mizuki got the belt, I was like, all right, whatever. Who cares? It's too late. Like, you know, you had 75 shots. Whatever. Good for her. Happy for her. With Miyu Watanabe, this was the time. And maybe that's part of the reason you sit there and like kind of afraid. You're like, oh, I don't know. Like, are they actually going to do it or not? And the reality is, I think Miyu Watanabe is and should be the new ace of this company. Because at the end of the day, a lot of people are in and out, right? You know, Rika Tatsumi is a bit older, so she's not going to be the ace of the company. And you know, Yamashita's going to America from time to time, and Ito's pretty much gone. Yuka's gone. Miyu Watanabe feels like that person that everyone cheers for, everyone wants to root for, that feels like can be that dominant champion as well. And by the end of this match, I was like, they did it. They actually did it. Just a fantastic, fantastic match. The perfect crowning moment for Miyu Watanabe. That moment where she went for her finish and Yamashita just rose to her feet and stared down to her. I was like, oh my God, that was incredible, because it's very unique to TJPW. That's not something you see a lot in TJPW, right? It's something maybe you see in a big Stardom match or a big, you know, Puro match or something like that, where they kind of no-sell the finish and they just give you that. And Miyu Yamashita from bell to bell felt like this monster. This absolute, like you said earlier, Ryan, like you know, you said, well, they do kind of have a monster. And in this match, that was Miyu Yamashita. She was this incredible mountain that Miyu Watanabe had to climb. And she just tried to cut her down and cut her down until she could finally hit the finish and win. That skull kick was incredible. I did get scared. I won't lie to you. I was like on the edge of my seat. I was literally pulling my hair, and then she kicked out, and I was like, oh, here we go. All right, we're here. And then she ultimately won. Fantastic moment, fantastic match. This is exactly what TJPW needed, I think, to get a lot of people into the product moving forward, but also build for the future. And I'm just very excited. And this is the right champion.
Oh, 100%. Trent, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I didn't want to interrupt because I know, you know, Miyu Yamashita, like, look behind you. There she is. Like, I wasn't sure if you wanted to really jump in on this one. Because I want to sing Miyu Yamashita.
Or Scott.
I know you will, but I want to take a moment to do that as well, because obviously Miyu Watanabe did a fantastic job here. She's my favorite wrestler in Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. She proved why in this match. But Miyu Yamashita did such a phenomenal job here because, yeah, she is the monster, the ace, the indomitable force of TJPW. She made Watanabe look believable in this role, because she was selling that back. It looked like she was, yeah, as strong as she was, and as much as, like, it takes one move from her to change things. Through the middle course of this match, when Watanabe is starting to build that momentum, she was making those moves look like they were legitimately, like, if not match enders, like, you know, putting someone who is at the top of their game at the bottom of their game. She made her look fantastic. And then when it was time for her to switch on to beast mode, final boss mode, you know, with that no sell at the finish and just staring her down, I wish we'd got like a good second camera angle of Watanabe's reaction to that. We didn't, but like just Yamashita was perfect as it was. The skull kick, like, I bought that for many reasons. One of them being it looked like one of the, yeah, she has skull kicks, and then she has skull kicks, and this was one of those skull kicks that, like, you see and you go, oh, she dead. And Watanabe did a great job kicking out, powering up. The crowd got absolutely behind the challenger. It was what everyone needed here. Yeah, kudos to everyone. This was a fantastic match, one of the best TJPW matches I've seen. I can't give like a fair analysis like you guys can necessarily, but for me, for my money, this was one of the best ones I've seen, and the right person won. Yeah, that's the perfect way to close out this show. The final shot with the four champions, like, that is an image that's going
that's
to
the future stick around
with. Yep. That we're going to see that a lot over the next year, 2 years, because that's one of those special moments, and that's one, you know, they knew what they were doing when they took that. So kudos to everyone involved. This was a perfect way to top off a really good show.
All right, Ryan, let's hear it.
I think this is a match I'm going to rewatch and then find more things to enjoy, like more layers. I really love the simple story of Watanabe working on the back. She's like, I got to find a weakness. This woman is so strong. I got to wear her down. So I'm going to focus on this. And then it comes into play. Often you see this limb work and then it just doesn't go anywhere. But I thought, oh, this might be what she can't lift her. She can't finish her moves. That was very well done. But the general dynamic, it just felt like two titans or two kaiju or whatever, just equal on the same level. Well, Nami wasn't the underdog, I felt like. Mm. Physically, they were the same. And they just had to give each other their best. That wasn't enough. I got to give you more. It's a very standard way to do like a main event epic thing. And these two, like, they killed it. I think if you go into a match like this, your opponent like inspires you. I think Yamashita was inspired by Watanabe. Like, this is the fresh new star. I'm more excited. I'm more, you know, I'm more in my game. And Watanabe is like, this is my chance to go against the best of the best to prove myself. And I think they both pushed each other. Just let's make this better and better and better. Absolutely delivered on all the fronts. When I am writing a full page of notes, I'm like, oh, this is going to be an article. You know, that's definitely a good sign. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say yet, but I have to write about this. And that's a golden stamp.
Yeah. Yeah. It was everything it needed to be. Like, ultimately that's what it was. It was, it succeeded in every way. I wouldn't add anything to it. I wouldn't take anything from it. It was a job well done. If anyone walks away from this match having it as their match of the year or Joshi match of the year or something, wouldn't question it at all, because I thought it was that fantastic. I understand that, like I said, one of the best TJPW matches ever. And I just think it sets up the future as you should. And this felt like the redemption almost for 2 years ago when Yamashita just lost to Shoko. It was like, it was kind of a pivot that didn't accomplish anything, especially after how dominant Miyu's run was. Mm-hmm. This felt like the perfect way to follow through. And I think this show ultimately gets a thumbs up as a complete success. And now, you know, we look forward to what's next. Obviously, they got the US shows. They got the big main event with 1 to 1 million versus Daydream, which should be excellent. It should recapture what they accomplished last year with their main event and so on. But I'm very excited to see Miyu and what she does as champion. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at her next to Daisy Monkey. I'm like, she should just wrestle both of them. I don't think that would be a bad thing at all. Because if you do that feud, you can piece it off, right? Like, you can do, okay, Daydream challenges for Daisy Monkey, and then one of them pins her to successfully defend the titles and then gets a title match, and you know, she could successfully defend against one of them. I think that would be perfect. That's just me kind of dreaming here, but ultimately, yeah, it's exactly. I am daydreaming, but I think it would be perfect. Obviously, the Rika match jumps out as a must, especially because of their history. The last time Miyu was champion, I think a Shoko match makes a lot of sense. That I think Shoko has excellent chemistry with Miyu.
Yes.
Mizuki, you know, just go with all the big hitters. Like, the, you know, don't hesitate. Give Miyu Watanabe the reign that I wanted Mizuki to have when she finally got the belt. Go with the big names. Go with the young names. Go with everybody, because this reign should be long. This should not be a short, okay, well, she got the belt, we can take it off of her after a few months. No. Go with her. I wouldn't hesitate to even consider having her enter Grand Princess next year as champion, because you're establishing what I think is your new ace.
Yeah, and this is the perfect person for that.
Yeah.
She brings the like imposing side, the athletic side, the charisma, the cute stuff, the idol stuff. She checks.
She's all TJPW.
Mm. If you created TJPW champion in the lab, this is who you. Yeah. This is who's coming out.
Absolutely.
So I am so excited for what she's going to do. I think she has the come close to her peak. She's getting better and better, and now you have the spotlight. now you're gonna get the opponents and you're gonna get the opportunity. Yep. This whole last 2023 is like so disappointing because she just wasn't doing a whole lot.
Yeah.
And if any of those things that Scott's talking about happen, yes, she's gonna deliver.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled.
And, you know, I was trying to think of like a comparison to like Miyu getting this belt and what the reign could look like for her. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, I can't find one in TJPW. They've had so many of the same champions. Like it wasn't happening. I was like, I can't pick a Miyu reign. Like that's not what Watanabe is at this point. So my hope for her, because she is higher, I think she's at a higher level than this wrestler was when she began her reign. And that is, I would like them to kind of recapture what Stardom did with Utami. I think that's the perfect reign to follow. You had some new names in there, like a Micah, for example, but then you had the big, like, you know, Shuri match, obviously, which can be either Rika or Shoko, you know, something like that. Just give her all the big names. Give her everything. Give her all these reasons to succeed. Give her her tag team partner. Give her the top pillars in the company. Give her the young stars. That's what you want to do, because Miyu's at a higher level in terms of her placement in TJPW as compared to where Tommy was when she became champion. So I think it could just do so much, not only for her, but TJPW. And that's what I want this reign to be. I want this to be that year-long, dominant, awesome reign that by the end of it, it's like, yes, you accomplished everything you could have.
I think you open it as they did with Utami. Yeah, her first title match was against Momo Watanabe. Proven performer, relatively big name, but someone you know you can chuck in there and get that A-plus level match.
Okay.
Rika Tatsumi, it kind of fills that role, being the tag partner, being connected that way. I actually think that's the way to go. Start the reign off strong. Then you can do some of the young up-and-comers where you may be taking a bit of a bigger risk in drawing power or match quality, but start it off strong. She beats Yamashita, just like Utami beat Mayu Iwatani, the ace of the big name in the company. Then start off with the established, strong wrestler that's got that connection and just run from there. And then you've got so much you can do, but the momentum is as strong as it can be for that first part.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I think even Scott is right, she is higher position, but she's still in prove yourself mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like she hasn't beaten all those names. So right. She is the champion, but it's like, are you going to be a short-lived champion? Can you beat Rika? Rika's beaten you before. You've never beaten this person. So I think there is a strong parallel with Utami. Utami was proving herself of, can you be this level of star, this level of champion? That's going to make it very interesting. Because she's not the end boss. She's not the dominant one.
Right.
But she could morph into that.
Exactly.
So yeah. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah. And I think that kind of wraps up this review. I want to thank both of you for joining me for this episode. Obviously very exciting for what TJPW has coming up. They have the show on Friday and Saturday, two US shows before heading back to Japan. I know Miyu Yamashita is spending a month, I think, or two in the US. So that's what's coming up for her. So a lot of exciting things coming up. Ryan, I want to give you the chance now to tell the people about a new project that you have created. Obviously, you know, it'll kind of lead to Trent telling people where to find his stuff and whatnot. But I just kind of want to let you talk about it on audio, since, you know.
Yes.
I don't think you've had the shot to yet.
That is very true. Yeah, I've had this idea just kind of floating in my head of like a place for all things Joshi. Right. When I started getting into Joshi, I was like, I would like to read more, hear the audio. I want to dive into the world. And I saw some Stardom stuff and not a whole lot else. Right. Not a lot of Tokyo Joshi, which inspired me. Like, I'm going to create more Tokyo Joshi stuff. But there's a really intense fans of Ice Ribbon or Sendai Girls, and there's not a place to really read about it, to fully to build on that experience of, I watched it, now I want to go to this next level. So I have created and started a website called Wrestlera, WrestleraMag.com. Wrestlera, I'm pronouncing it in like a my accent, but it is the Japanese word for wrestler. I love Joshi. I love it so much that I essentially stopped watching men's wrestling. I'm just so focused. There's so much to watch. Like, you could just,
you saw more men wrestle this show than you had the entire year previously.
Yeah, the two of y'all. So I'm gonna start rolling with it. Scott and Trent have said they're interested. These are, Scott and Trent are like the people that I would want to do this with, because you guys know your stuff. You love this in the same way that I do. And I think we can build a place where people can, if you are into this little niche thing, I'm a super big Ice Ribbon fan. We're not going to do a whole bunch of Ice Ribbon all the time, but like, we're going to do more than there is now. And find a place to go to that next level with your enjoyment. Read about them, eventually interviews, eventually videos. I hesitated because it's such a little tiny section of this wrestling world. It's not like a profitable thing, probably, but like, that's not what I care about. You know, Budweiser is popular and profitable. McDonald's is profitable and popular. But I don't like those things. I like my little thing I love. And there's so many people I can already see. People are interested. People are wanting. There's a void to fill. And it's a thing that will grow. And I think we'll have more people involved. But like, the goal is to fill that void of loving, showcasing, spotlighting some of the best wrestling on earth. That's my goal. We have two articles up right now. One from myself, one from Trent, who can tell you more, and a lot more to come. And we are also on Twitter at WrestleraMag, WrestleraMag.com, at Wrestlera at Twitter. Toying with Instagram as well. So just baby steps, but that's where I'm going.
So you can find that piece. Basically, if you've followed me at all in the past and my Joshi writing, all of it is now going on to Wrestlera. That's going to be my focal point. If I get inspired to write about men, then that'll go elsewhere. Doesn't really fit. Unless it's honorary Joshi Chris Brooks, I might be able to sway right on that. So all my Joshi writing moving forward, that is going to be on Wrestlera Mag. My most recent release, which was for the debut of that website, is looking back at the Julia and Tam Nakano rivalry. Went on for over 4 years. I think for many people, it is the rivalry for Stardom. If you came in around that time, that's what the one was popping. That's the big one that was happening. Wanted to go back and look at that now that Julia's moving on to other things. So be sure to check that out. And just for me, like, I just want to speak quickly on Wrestlera. What I love about it is because you've seen people kind of want to write about Joshi. The amount of Joshi content has gone up exponentially since I started writing about it in sort of end of 2020. But I think there's always been that sort of hesitation to lean all the way in. You know, I know for myself and you guys with wrestling, that wasn't a Joshi website. We did our darndest to make it Joshi. But if you went on there looking for Joshi, you had to scroll through AEW, New Japan, All Japan, Dragon Gate, all of that. Not necessarily a bad thing, but like, if you're looking for Joshi, you had to swim through it. Every other website out there, that's kind of what you have to do. No one's committed 100% to Joshi. And that's what I kind of like with Wrestlera, for people who are getting into it, who want to read more about it, want to learn about the different companies more. Wrestlera is one stop meets all. You don't have to wade through the other promotions, the men's wrestling, sort of find what you're looking for. It is all there. And having someone like Ryan, his writing is very different to mine. He actually knows how to keep things concise. But, like, the content is top-notch. It's fully there. And we are going to be able to cover such a wide variety. I'm here as a guest for TJPW. It's not my area of expertise. But you know Ryan's going to be able to punch out really in-depth and interesting stuff on that. I can write stuff that's a little bit different to Ryan's interest. The Gatto moves, the Stardoms. And when with Scott, like, he can cover pretty much anything. Like, he can close his eyes, point at promotion. Yeah, I know more about that than 90% of the people who are out there on the internet. So it's great. But just even with us three, and even as it grows and more people come on board, we can cover a wide variety of different stuff. If you're interested in Joshi, go check it out. Starting small, just two articles to begin with, but it'll grow and it'll grow and it'll grow. And hopefully you guys can get in on the ground floor and, you know, help support it and help show how good Joshi wrestling can be by building that next avenue, not just the wrestling, but the content surrounding it.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are pretty good at hyping it up. That was half the, you know, it worked out. This episode was coming out today, you know, one day after it obviously officially launched. I don't know if we fully talked about it, but hopefully that's where you can hear us three together again sometime in the future. Obviously the Ocean Cyclone show, I know a lot of people actually really enjoyed it, which is nice to hear. It's a one of a kind show, so you know, once a month we do something crazy. So hopefully that's where that will be as well. I'm pretty useless when it comes to writing these days. So, you know, I'll have something eventually. But for now, go read what Ryan and Trent both have up there. I'll at the very least be part of the roundup, you know, where we recommend matches. I think that's always good, because I think that's going to be one of the more helpful things. You know, what this website in my eyes, you know, I think Trent and Ryan obviously gave the understanding that this is a Joshi site, which doesn't exist. Like, there's not just a singular Joshi site. And I think the beauty of this will be to point people in the direction of the matches they should see from XYZ, right? Like, Ryan's going to recommend an actress girls match that maybe, you know, people that want to get into actress girls don't know where to start or don't really understand what's going on or things like that. You know, it's not just going to be Stardom. And, you know, there's a pretty exciting promotion coming out pretty soon that's just going to add to it as well. Shout out the Hat Man one time. But I'm very excited about what's coming up. I do have some ideas cooking. Maybe I'll actually be able to be like, hey, go look at what I have. But go check out both Trent and Ryan's. That's resuramag.com. resuramag.com. Sometimes it's good to spell. You know, I think sure, I think it's always sure a little bit easier for people.
With four words and everything, yeah.
Same on X as well. You can go follow it right now, so you never miss an article, never miss a, you know, I know videos are going to come to that eventually, whatever else content may come up. I've had a lot of people ask me questions about it. They're like, are you connected? Are they looking for people? I'm like, it hasn't even launched yet. I was like, give it a second, you know? Like,
well, that shows some interest,
I was like, the excitement's coming. I know the team behind it. Helps to be one of them, but like, I know what you two, and I know
the team's pretty good. I'm there. It's gotta be pretty good.
I actually said I was useless. Every time someone asks me, like, if I'm connected, I'm like, well, technically, yes. Have I done anything? No. But the two that are helping. Obviously, Ryan is the one powering it, and Trent, of course, writing and so on. So if you like the Ocean Cyclone show, if you liked listening to this podcast, there's more content on the way from us together. So that's always a lot of fun. But let's wrap this up. Tell the people where they can find you, and we can get out of here. So, Ryan, where can people find you on social and so on?
I'm at Ryan Dilbert on the X. I think I can call it that now, safely.
Yeah, you're probably right.
TikTok at Ryan Dilbert, just mostly highlight videos eventually, you know, sometimes. Yeah, and then all the rest of our stuff. It's going to be a lot of me and Trent. So,
and Scott eventually.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll get him there. We'll get him there. I like that of the three of us, Ryan's the hippest one. He's got the TikTok going and doing the highlight stuff.
Yeah,
and
the young here one. I am.
Yeah, I'm basically still on the equivalent of MySpace in the sense that I'm only on X. You can find me at OneUpCulture. I have an Instagram. I never use it. It's just there. I have a Facebook. I never use it, but it's there. Yeah, but follow me on Twitter at OneUpCulture.
Oh, brother. Okay. You didn't need to go through all the social medias. Just needed your one account.
You can follow me online, WeChat.
I don't have this. I don't have that.
I appreciate it.
You can find me on Home and Carrier Pigeon. I use Pigeon North Star. Just use him.
Well, anyways, you can follow me at Scotty Wrestling on Twitter. I just had an interview come out with Alex Windsor over on Fightful.com. I also have interviews with Miyu Watanabe and Arisu Endo up if you want to check those out. Have another interview in the works. Should be a lot of fun. Probably of interest to people. The wrestler's pretty cool, but I won't give it away because, you know, I'm a little superstitious stuff. I never want to say something. No, that's not what I said. But yeah, make sure to check everything out that we said. I'll be back later this week to talk all the stuff happening in Stardom, including the US show. Maybe a Corican card. Probably not. Talk about the farewells from this past weekend, including Mirai's farewell, my Sakurai's farewell, Yuzuki's farewell, Utami and Julia's first farewells, and anything else.
Not quite Himeka level, but, you know.
No. Oh, as well as, of course, Julia popping up in Pro Wrestling Noah. That's always a little fun one. But for Ryan, for Trent, I'm Scott. This is the Five Star Joe Show right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Until next time, see ya.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.